being that today is Rosh Chodesh Av, beginning over here, the beginning of the 9 days, I want to discuss some inyanim relating to, as we anyway been doing this, of Bein HaMetzarim. I would like to discuss now the difference between the Bayis Rishon and the Bayis Sheni. Okay, the chilik between the two Batei Mikdashes. And by the way, these two Batei Mikdashes are not really the first. There were a total of seven. There are really a total of seven. Mr. Cohen, do you still have the keenness on you?
Sorry?
Do you still have the keenness on you?
Okay.
The keenness. Can you get it? Okay, can you get it? Just one. Watch your step. Okay. Yeah, I did tell you. But we have to appreciate. The focus of Tisha B'Av is really the focus on the Bayis Rishon and the Bayis Sheni. We have to appreciate that there were seven Batei Mikdash. There really were seven. There are numerous midrashim all over here and there. And Mechol will be a very good topic. Like your sefer, you have the Dalam Malchios, the Dalam Malchios, and all the different allusions to the Dalam Malchios. The 60 allusions to the Dalam Malchios. To collect all the different Mamari Chazal that allude, mention, or are interpreted in reference to the seven Mikdashos of the Jewish people that are no longer with us. And it's very mysterious. Now, what are the seven Mikdashos? Well, I'll give you some examples. What are the seven Mikdashos? First is the Mishkan of Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu built a Mishkan in the desert, Bezalel, Moshe, Klal Yisrael. How long did that Mishkan last? For 40 years. What was the second Mishkan? The Mishkan of Gilgal. Gilgal is the location where Klal Yisrael set up the Mishkan, which I think the Chazal say was the Mishkan of Moshe. Was it exactly the Mishkan of Moshe? Pashtos, right? It's not so posh. It wasn't exactly the Krushim with the Urios. L'chayru was. We're in Gilgal. Gilgal was the first stop where Klal Yisrael set up the Mishkan for Hashem in Eretz Yisrael. What did they do during those 14 years when Gilgal? They conquered the land and they divided the land. Okay, that's called Gilgal. What was the third Mishkan? Shiloh. Shiloh wasn't just a Mishkan. Shiloh was more of a Bama Gedoyla. Not a Bama Gedoyla. It was more. It was Ata El Hamenucha, the El Hanachala. Machleks in the Gemara. Does Menucha refer to Shiloh or does Nachala refer to Shiloh? But in any event, and the other one refers to the Bayis Rishon. In any event, this was a much more significant structure, and that was present with us for 369 years. The next was Noiv. Noiv. We don't really know all that much about Noiv, other than that Shaul came along and suspected that the Kohanim of Noiv participated in the rebellion against his Malchus. They supported David HaMelech, and he killed them all. How many people were killed? I think Chazal say 85. The same number by Hib and Soya Ha'aron. I think there were 85 people that were killed in Noiv. And it's not only so clear.
He also didn't ask any questions.
He just killed them all. Doik or Adoimi. There are a lot of mysteries, a lot of these things. Even Shiloh. 369 years is a very, very long time. And there's really not much said about it. Other than the very end when Pinchasi or Pinchas, Eli was the Kohen Gadol. Eli was the Kohen Gadol. Chofni or Pinchas, or two sons, were in leadership positions in leading this Mokoim, and they were rebellious. They were misbehaving. Torah certainly super magnifies minor imperfections in how they dealt with the women. They delayed the bringing of the Korbanos. There was a corruption it says in the pasuk, they took the meat, they began to eat the meat with pitchforks before the emurim were burnt on the mizbeach. It's important to study exactly what the corruption was, but there was a degree of corruption that is super magnified. So we only know about the telltale end of Shiloh. And then there was Noiv, and after Noiv there was Givain. I once saw exactly how many years, this record exactly how many years.
Together, 57 together,
but it's actually recorded somewhere exactly how many years each one. Usually when all, you know, the Likutim, in the footnotes of the art school, they don't tell you exactly how many years they were Noiv. No, I think it says somewhere. I think there is a record of how many, it says somewhere in Chazal, exactly how many years in Noiv, how many years in Givayin. And then there was a hiatus. There was a delay. After Givayin was destroyed, doesn't say destroyed, it's not, there's a lot of, we're going to discuss some of these in a second, it's a little bit of a mystery, how it came to an end. Noiv, we know, came to an end because the Kohanim were murdered.
Right.
They were murdered in cold blood by Shaul HaMelech because of the rebellion. Givayin, it doesn't say exactly what happened, but at some point in time, David decided the time has come where we're gonna move the Oroin, where it's located. I have to take, be careful, it's an important point, I'm going to come back to that in a second. He moved things over to Ir David. And then ultimately he laid the foundation for the Bayis Rishon. And Shloimei HaMelech, later in his Malchus, I think 7 years into his Malchus, he went and he built the Beis HaMelech. Now this is an important point. And that is, when we speak about the Oroin HaKodesh being transported, it was taken out to war when Shiloh was in existence. The Oroin was captured, and when the Oroin was captured, Shiloh was destroyed. It doesn't say very much about its destruction, but it appears that part of the Pelishtim actually conquered Shiloh. They, just like the Romans destroyed the Bayis Sheni, just like the Nebuchadnezzar destroyed the Bayis Rishon, the impression that you get, I gotta go back to chapter and verse, is that the Pelishtim entered into the territory of Shiloh, broke down its defenses, whatever defenses it may have had. Did it have a wall? Who knows? None of this is recorded. And maybe there was a wall around Shiloh. Why not? There had to be some type of defenses erected to protect Shiloh. The Pelishtim, it appears, the Pelishtim entered, they defiled it, and they destroyed it. Where does it say this? It doesn't. It doesn't. But that's the impression we get. Eli HaKoyin died when he heard that the Aron was captured, that his two sons were killed. He collapsed backwards and died. And that was the end, that Tekufa was the end of Mishkan Shiloh. How did Mishkan Shiloh come to an end? Again, the impression you get, and maybe it says it before, which is the Pelishtim entered and just demolished the entire structure. Now, what happened? Now, when they returned the Aron, this is the interesting thing. When they returned the Aron, the Pelishtim, they captured the Aron, and they kept it. And then they all started dying from hemorrhoids, suffering from hemorrhoids. They realized that and miracles started happening where all of the idols collapsed in the presence of the Aron. They realized they are in trouble. They built a magnificent wagon and they attached it to Poros, to these cows, and they sent it off back to Klal Yisrael. When they sent the Aron back to Klal Yisrael, did Klal Yisrael take the Aron and put it in the next Mishkan? The next Mishkan, we know as a fact, was Noiv. When Shaul killed all of the Kohanim of Noiv, was the Oroin in Noiv? No, it was not. The Oroin HaKodesh is not an essential ingredient in the establishment of the Mishkan. We said before, we spoke about what is Tisha B'Av. There are two parts to Tisha B'Av. There is the Churban HaBayis, and there is the Golos of Klal Yisrael. The Bayis doesn't need an Oroin. Now, we all take that for granted, because when we talk about the Bayis Sheni, everyone knows that in the Bayis Sheni, there was no Oroin. There were no Kruvim. the Aron, the Kruvim, were put in Geniza by Yoshiyahu towards the 22 years before the Churban Bayis Rishon, never to return. So during the entire era of the Bayis Sheni, during the era of the Bayis Sheni, there was no Aron and there were no Kruvim. That doesn't matter. You don't need there to be the Aron and the Kruvim to have a bias upon which Hashem rests His divine presence, where we can serve Hashem by bringing korbanos. We take that for granted when it comes to the Bayis Sheni because there was no Aron. But we could easily make a mistake and think that when you do have an Aron, then the Aron must be present in the Mokoim of the Bayis in order that the Shekhinah should rest in that Bayis. But we know as a historical fact that's not correct, because the Aron never went to Noiv. The Aron was in Kiryas Yeorim. It was by, I forgot his name, a certain person who was blessed. Hagiti. What? Oved Edom. By Oved Edom, Hagiti. Oved Edom Hagiti. It was in his possession. David was very jealous of this person, Oved Edom, in a religious way. He wanted it also. And he brought the Aron to Ir David. So what do you learn from this? You don't need the Aron to be in the Mokaim of the Hashuas HaShechina. Obviously the Aron is a place of Hashuas HaShechina, but the Bayis does not need an Aron. And that's very important. Because if Madoch, when you have an Aron, it doesn't have to be in the Bayis, and the Bayis is still called the Mokam Hashuas HaShechina. That's where you bring all the korbanos. So therefore, when it comes to the Bayis Sheni, you don't have the Aron. You can have a Bayis Sheni without an Aron. And the Taka, the Aron was in Geniza, is in Geniza, and for 420 years there was a Beis HaMikdash, which the Shechina was resting to a degree, whatever. It wasn't the same degree that it was in the Bayis Rishon, but it was the Mokam Hashuas HaShechina, the Bayis Sheni as well. So it's important to appreciate that when Shiloh was destroyed, there was now a separation between, it was a new tekufa, where you have a bias without an Aron. The Aron was in captivity for a short time, and then the Aron was in the home of Oved Edom, Hagiti, and then it was in Kiryas Yoarim, and then it went to Ir David, And it went through a lot of different locations until it was finally, now we can really appreciate the major event when Shlomo HaMelech, when he built, gives a whole new flavor of appreciation, when Shlomo HaMelech built the Bayis Rishon, and it was a time for the Chanukah Sabayis, and they now brought the Aron into the Kodesh HaKodashim, and it didn't fit. The doors, all the midrashim, the doors did not want to open, or the doors, even though they made a miscalculation, it was too tight, it did not fit into the doors. And Shlomo was embarrassed. And he said, Su'u sho'orim roshechem v'inosu pischei olam v'yavoy melech hakavod. And the doors thought, who's the melech? Are you the melech hakavod, Shlomo? How can you mislead us? They wanted to swallow him up. It's no, mihuze melech hakavod, Hashem izuz v'gibar, Hashem gibar mochama, and let's do it again. So, Hashem v'shem v'nesu b'slom v'yivar melech hakavod, mihuze melech hakavod, Hashem tzivakos humech, it still didn't open up. Okay, we won't swallow you up, but it's not going to open. And then when he said, ba'avur, David avdecha, a miracle happened. The doors opened, it expanded, and David's enemies, their faces became black like the bottom of a pot. Okay, like the bottom of a pot. Black like the bottom. In Bushu Chlima, when they saw that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that only in the Zuchus of the net. Let's appreciate something. It wasn't just Stam. Oh, look at this. The Aron is coming in the Chanukah Sabayis. You don't need the Aron, period, to be here. The Horaya, no, even Givon, there was no Aron. There was no Aron, and they brought the Korbanos. They brought the Tamid Shel Shacha, Tamid Shel Bein Arbayim. They were Mekayim, all anyone who needs to bring a Korban, you come there. No, even Givon was the Mokam Hashuas HaShechina without. out the Aron. So what's the big deal? You have a Beis HaMikdash, the door is too narrow. Okay, so take the Aron back where you got it from. Until we figure out, we'll do construction and we'll go and we'll make a new door. You don't need the Aron. The Simcha and the miracle of the Aron coming into the Bayis Rishon was the reunification, a different level of sanctity of having the synthesis, the integration of the Bayis with the Aron. Yeah?
The date when Shiloh was Nefra?
I'm sorry?
Do you know the exact date when Shiloh was
Nefra? I think we do. I believe we do know. I don't know it, but I believe it's not so hard to find. Maybe after the Shira I can find with you. The exact date, I think we do. I mean, they have the year, the calendar date?
No, the year. The day of the month.
Like the day of the month. No, I don't know. I do not know. Maybe we do. I don't know the answer. I don't know. But the year we for sure know. The year we know. But the exact day, the calendar date.
That's why Gilbert was 14, because it has to add up to 850.
Right, so the day of the year, but do we know the right. Year? Do we know the exact date? I don't know. You know, Chazal, they say five things happened on Tisha, the Bayis Rishon, the Bayis Sheni, and Beitar. Three Mekoimis were destroyed. It doesn't say Shiloh was destroyed. It doesn't say anywhere. I know Shiloh is a very big mystery. A lot of that, everything about Shiloh is a very big mystery. I don't know. But we have to, the Gemara talks about there's a Beis Medrash and there's a Beis HaKnesses. Hayluchud v'hayluchud. We discussed many times. The Beis HaKnesses, you only daven. There are different halachas. There are different laws. The kedusha of the Beis HaKnesses is more chomer than the Beis Medrash to a certain degree. Because in the Beis HaKnesses, you only daven. You can't make any announcements. You can't take a nap. You got this is the makom. You're oimed lifnei hamelech. You're oimed. This is the makom where you're oimed lifnei hamelech. The Beis Medrash is you learn. You learn. If you learn, you can take a little nap. You can lie down. You can have some food. You're not letting, it's kedusha. But mitzat sheni, Torah, the sanctity of the Torah is even greater than the koyach of tefillah. Because Torah is chayei oilam. Tefillah is only called chayei shah. Okay, it's not 100% like that, but so each one has its unique milas. In the Beis Medrash, there were no minyanim. You want to daven, you're learning Torah, you're potter. If you're learning Torah, terasai, umnasai, you are potter from tzvila. You have to be mekabel o malchus shamayim, but that's not davening. Prayer, you don't have to daven, me'ikar hadin, don't try this at home, but me'ikar hadin, terasai, umnasai, you're potter mitzvila. You want to daven for whatever reason, so you go across the street. You go across the street to the Beis HaKnesses. The Beis HaKnesses, there are no gemaras. There's no learning. Learning, you want to learn, you go across Hay Lichud V'Hay Lichud. In the Gemara, I think it was Abaye said, I used to go to Shul to Davin and go to the Beis Medrash to learn. And then when I heard, I've got the Gemara, when I heard of this incredible thing is, I should know this Gemara, then I decided, I Davined Bein Amude. I integrated the two together. I learned, I davened in the same mokon where I learned Torah. That's what happened when they brought the Aron into the Beis HaMikdash. The Aron does not need to be in the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash is primarily Kibesi Beis Tefila L'chol Ha'amim. Today, the Bayis Sheni, it was just a Beis Tefillah. Where is the Aron? The Aron is in Geniza. Where's the Geniza? In all of the Bate Midrashim in Klal Yisrael. That was the Bayis Sheni. The Bayis Sheni, it's in Geniza. The Geniza is where everyone is learning. That's where. The Beis HaMikdash is a Beis Tefillah. Okay, the time of the Bayis Rishon, it was unique. It was a Zman when the Torah and Tefillah were synthesized. This is a major difference between the Bayis Rishon and the Bayis Sheni. In the Bayis Rishon, the celebration of bringing the Oroin into the base, the Kodesh HaKadoshim, Su'u Sherm Roshechem, it's not necessary. If the Oroin doesn't fit, so it doesn't fit. So take it back to Kiryas Yoharim. Take it back. It'll be somewhere else. You don't need the Oroin to be present in order that we can have a Beis HaMikdash and bring Korbanos and serve Hashem through the Koich of Tefillah. So no, so the Aron is somewhere else. I'll daven here and I'll learn there. The incredible miracle of Su'u Sha'odim Roshechem is Abaya. Abaya. When I heard the halacha that there's a maila of davening in the place where you learn, I decided Mikanu Lahaba, I'm gonna daven in the same mokoim where I learn. The concept of synthesizing the two together, it's a conversation. Like everyone always says of all the Gedolei Yisrael, when you learn Torah, Hashem is speaking to you. When you daven, you speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ein edoymeh, when you have a conversation, you're talking to a person, there's a correspondence. There's a conversation. I talk to you, it's a whole different world. Whereas, you go when you send a message. I have a question, I come and I put in a request. And then, I gotta go, wait for the mail to come 5 weeks later to get the response. Ain't it doing it when Mark comes to the shir and I talk to him and there's a conversation, there's a give and take. It creates a whole new dynamic when you have a live conversation with a person compared to having a correspondence. I send a letter and then I have to wait 6 months to get back a response. When you send a letter, get back a response, that's like I daven in the shul and I learn in the Beis Medrash. I daven in the shul, I talk to Hashem. Hashem responds to me when I learn Torah. I have siyat d'shmaya and insights into understanding of the Shvarachu in the Beis Medrash. That's like a correspondence over through the mail. But when you have a live audience with a Kadosh Baruch Hu, that is the synthesis of Torah Tzvilah. I daven between the pillars. The Bayis Rishon, the miracle of the Bayis Rishon was, we're not going to have a correspondence with the Kadosh Baruch Hu overseas like we had in Neuven Givayin. In Neuven Givayin, for 57 years, Hayluchud v'Hayluchud. You want to continue that approach in the Bayis Rishon? Yeah, okay. So there'll be Neuv Givayin Bayis Rishon. It's a place to daven, and learning is wherever the Aron is. The Nes of Su'u Sha'arim is the synthesis. It's a restoration to Shiloh, a restoration to the Koyach of the Oil Moed of Moshe Rabbeinu and Gilgal, is where the Torah and the Tefillah are synthesized into one Mokoyim. Yoshiyahu, 22 years before the Churban Bayis Rishon, is now the separation has begun. It's not the same anymore. The last 22 years of the Bayis Rishon is Hayluchud v'Hayluchud. Our relationship with Hashem is not a live, dynamic relationship. It's a distant relationship. You send a message, I have a request. Okay, put in your request into the box. Chaim Berlin, they installed, I can't believe they did this. It's a new generation. In the basement, by the elevator, they have a box. They found probably somewhere, they found a metal box with a hole in it. Suggestion box. Please put here all your complaints. You know, the message. You got something to say to the administration? Good. Here, put it. I'm sure they must read it every day. Okay? Don't talk to us directly. Don't talk. You put in a message, we'll read it. And if there's a response, you'll know about it. Otherwise, that's what happened 22 years before the Churban Bayis Rishon. The Ribbono Shel Olam installed a suggestion box. There's no live audience anymore. I'm not talking to you directly. you have a problem, send me a message. If I want to, respond to you, I'll send you back a message in the Beis Medrash. Hayim l'chud v'hayim l'chud. The last 22 years of the Beis Rishon was reverted to noi v'givoin. It was noi v'givoin all over again. And then came the Churban, and then the Bayis Sheni. It was only noi v'givoin. Okay, so there are seven mikdashos. Now, I mentioned before, and the main thing we want to bring out is the difference between the Bayis Rishon, the Bayis Sheni, and this is one of the probably the most fundamental differences, was there a synthesis of Torah Utsila? Bayis Rishon, yes, the Oroin was present. It doesn't just mean that there are five differences, but from the five differences, we have to appreciate, it creates a new dynamic. A new dynamic of a live audience with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and that did not exist in the Bayis Sheni. This is something to be very, very, very fascinating. The following thing I'm about to tell you, and David HaMelech, he knew in advance it's going to be a Churban. He knew David HaMelech was a Navi, and the Mizmar of Al Narois Bavel, which we're really supposed to say. It's your phone. Don't worry about it. It's okay. Scam likely. Scam likely. Okay. It says that it's a scam. Okay. So David HaMelech, was a Navi in Al Narois Bavel. He prophesized about both the Bayis Rishon and the Bayis Sheni. What is the pasuk of the Bayis Rishon? Al Narois Bavel. David HaMelech, when he wrote these words. I mean, this didn't happen yet. I mean, what is he saying over it? This is 420 years, more, before the Churban. Al Naharois Bavel, Shom Yoshavnu, Gambochinu Bezochreinu Es Tzion. What? David HaMelech wrote this? This didn't happen for 420 years. Further in the Mizmor it says, Zuchor Hashem, this Zuchor Hashem, this is a different Mizmor. Same Mizmor, Pasuk Zayin, Zechor Hashem Livnei Edoim Eis Yom Yerushalayim Ha'oimrim Oru Ad Hayisoyba. Hashem, remember Edoim. Remember the day of Yerushalayim, which means the day of the Churban, when they said, Oru Oru, uproot. Okay? Be aroused, uproot Ad Hayisoyba, uproot Yerushalayim, up until the foundation, uproot everything. So Chazal say, that's Babai Shem, Edoim is the Romans. Edom, the Dalagolios. This is the Vam Shudamad Ma'oid. So, wow. And then the first part of the Mizmor, it says, Narois Bavel. How did David know that it would be Bavel, Babylonia, Nebuchadnezzar, the Kasdan, that would destroy the Bayis Rishon? David knew. How did David know that in 900 years, there would be the Churban Bayis Sheni of Edom, Zohar Shem Levnei Edom? Hashem revealed to David HaMelech a nevuah, the Bayis Rishon will be Chorav due to, and by Bavel, the Bayis Sheni, Rishon Nevuchadnezzar, is the Romans. The Bayis Rishon is Nevuchadnezzar, and the Bayis Sheni is Edom. Now here's the point I want to make, is all over Tanakh, we have two words describing the innermost, holiest place in the world. What are the two different words? One word is Tzion, and one word is Yerushalayim. And they're almost used interchangeably. Ki mitzion teitze sorah, udvar Hashem mirushalayim. Okay, there are numerous psukim throughout Tanakh that put the two together, and if the Mitzudas David would say it's just kofal ha'inyan b'milois shoynois, as we like to translate, poetic repetition. Two words which seemingly mean the same thing, but obviously the two words do not mean the same thing. They mean that each one captures a different flavor. Different flavor. There's Tzion and Yerushalayim. What is the difference? So there have been many, many commentators that have given many, many differences, many ideas have been suggested to differentiate between the two. Some will tell you that the more popular ones are, that Yerushalayim represents the physical edifice, the bricks, the stones, the wood, the cement, the tit. Yerushalayim, You go to Jerusalem, you come out, you see a city of Gashmias. Tzion represents the neshama of Yerushalayim. That's one mahalach. Another mahalach, what are the other, some will tell you that Yerushalayim represents the larger area, the larger region. Tzion represents Ir David, or it represents the Har Habayis. It represents a more central, a more intense location. In this pasuk, there's a fascinating insight, is that the word Tzion is used in reference to the Bayis Rishon, and the word Yerushalayim is used in reference to the Bayis Sheni. A whole new insight, because here this pasuk is really, like, you know, it's critical. David here is explicitly mentioning the Churban, who's destroying what. It's mentioning Al Narois Bavel Shom Yoshavnu Gam Bochinu Bizochreinu Es Tzion. We are describing the Churban Bayis Rishon. What do we remember about the Churban Bayis Rishon? We remember Tzion. And when it comes to the Bayis Sheni, David, the same Mizmar, only a few psukim later, Zochar Shem Levnei Edom, Es Yom Yerushalayim, Es. Remember, Yom Yerushalayim. Hashem, remember. Remember, Es Yom Yerushalayim. So right away, this is something which I didn't see anywhere else, but it opens up a whole new world, is that Tzion captures the element of the Bayis Rishon. And Yerushalayim captures the Chiba of the Bayis Sheni. Is it a little bit cold here? I mean, a little bit cold.
1 degree. It's the only thing keeping us up.
1 degree higher.
That's why there's whiskey in there.
Okay, so Tzion represents the Bayis Rishon. But the truth is, there's another critical element that this pasuk reveals, and that is, who remembers what? When we talk about the Churban Bayis Rishon, Al Naris Bavel Shom Yoshavnu Gam Bochinu Bizochreinu, we remember. What do we remember? We remember Tzion. When we look at the Beis HaMikdash, from our perspective, we look at Tzion. When Hashem remembers, Zichor Hashem, Livnei Edom, Eis Yom Yerushalayim. When it's from Hashem's perspective, it's Yerushalayim. Now take that idea and try to plug it into different psukim. Ki mitzion teitze soira udvar Hashem Yerushalayim. It fits like a glove. Where is Torah? Mark, who is the Baal Habayis of Torah? Who is in charge? Who's in charge? Who makes the decisions? Who calls the shots? We call the shots. Not Shemayim. Not even the Ribbono Shel Olam. Okay, that's a dangerous thing to say. Who, when Moshe Rabbeinu went to Shemayim, he took the Torah down to this earth. The Malachi HaShari's protest. What's the big deal? Ner le'echa, ner le'meya. You also can learn Torah. Big deal, you also. This is Dvarim Shudrim. We always say this, is that when Moshe Rabbeinu took the Torah down to this earth, it means Torah lava shamayim. The halacha, the lasuke shmaitza, aliba dehilchisa. We're in charge. What we say here in this world, that's what they have to follow in Shemayim. If they want to take a person in din in Shemayim, they have got a complaint, and there's a din in Shemayim, there are no dayanim up there. They have to follow orders, what we decide down here. The Shulchan Aruch is written down here in this world, Lasuke Shmaitza Aliba de Hilchasa de Kerach. As we always said, that's the tsar of leaving this world. I'll give you all the example. Where would you rather sit? Would you rather go sit in the United Emirates? First class is like mamish gan eden in oilam hazeh. Okay, I'm very into. I have a chibah for airplanes. All is getting all these clips every day from some WhatsApp group. I get all these fascinating little clips about the airline industry. And United, Emirates, what they have, first class, you can't even begin to imagine how they customize the airplane. Would you rather be there, or would you rather sit in a little teeny cramped seat, the pilot seat? The pilot seat. You're cramped, mamash, you're cramped, and you're surrounded by a million buttons and gadgets. You can go dizzy. Where would you rather sit? In the back, on a bed, a water bed, climate control, with all the entertainment systems in the world? I would rather be in the pilot seat. Ah, but the pilot seat, I don't have all the exotic luxuries. You're in control. You're the balabas. You're sitting in the pilot seat. You are in control. You have all the buttons. You have so many buttons, so many knobs, you don't know what to do with yourself. You're the balabas. Oh, but it's not so comfortable. Who cares? This is where the action is. This is where the action is. The back there, it's late. What do you do there? You get bored there after 10 minutes. Yeah, very nice. And then now what? And now what? After all the luxury. Shemayim is Gan Eden. Gan Eden. They have all the food you could possibly want, and you don't have to worry about blood pressure and cholesterol and anything. But you're not the balabas. In this world, you're the balabas. This is where the action is. Ter laba shemayimi. Ki mit Tzion teitze sor. What does Tzion mean? Bezochreinu. When you look at this part of the world, the holiest place in the world, from our perspective, what is it called? Tzion. Bizochreinu Tzion. Tzion. Bizochreinu. When Al Narois Bavel, Shom Yoshavnu, Gam Bochinu, we sat on the rivers of Bavel, we sat there, we cried, when we remembered Tzion. Bayis Rishon. Tzion. What does it say about Edom? Not us. Zuchor Hashem. You, Hashem. You remember. You remember Livnei Edom. Es Yom Yerushalayim. The day when they destroyed Yerushalayim. Ha'oimrim. Aru Ad Hayisayba. When you look at this makom of the world, the holiest place of the world, when we look at it from our perspective, it's called Tzion. Whenever you say the word Tzion, it's us. Whenever you say the word Yerushalayim, it's from the perspective of Hashem. Memela, when it now makes sense, when you're saying the pasuk Ki mitzion teitze soira, from Tzion the Torah will go forth. Why do we use the word Tzion? Why don't we go say Ki mirushalayim teitze soira? Because Tzion, because Torah, we're in charge. We are the balabatim of Torah. Torah b'shamayimi. Nemele ki mitzion teitze soira. This is us. But when you want to go talk about Devar Hashem, okay, so Hashem is communicating. Hashem is sending down a message. Hashem sends words of prophecy. He sends messages. Udvar Hashem mirushalayim. Because you need Hashem to speak. So from Hashem's perspective, Hashem has to decide what to say. What is the message? What is his sermon? Devar Hashem. So you say the word Mirushalayim. It fits like a glove. Now, to add to that, you know, I always wondered about this. You know, try to open up some new ideas. Is at the end of Tisha B'Av, not the end, the end of Kinois, we come to 9 Kinois. I always used to have relief. Kinois is always torture. And when I heard the Shliach Tzibor saying Tzion. Tzion! I remember that I used to daven in a certain place and they had and the one who led the kinois, you know, at a certain point, he started screaming. You know, when he finished off, he had a little nigun, and then he began Tzion! Oh, he's up to the Tzions. Ah, that means we're almost done. That means we're the last 9. What?
There's a light at the end of the tunnel.
There's a light at the end. I used to always say, oh, that means we're up to the last 9. The last 9 kinois, really it's 10. You have one in the middle called the Shreva Satira. The Shreva Satira, the Ramberg, Shali Serufa Bo'esh, mysteriously is put there in the middle. But the last 9/10, then there's Shomroin, that's really 11. is the tzions. Why do we focus? Why do they all begin with the word tzion? Why don't they begin with the word Yerushalayim? Teretz is, I'm trying to say, is so. First of all, it's interesting is that we're coming to remember, according to this pshat, the Bais Rishon. Okay, this is another very big dilemma that many of the commentators struggle with. What is the Ikur Tisha B'Av? When we are Misabel on Tisha B'Av, are we are Misabel primarily on the Bais Rishon or on the Bais Sheni? There are different opinions. Some say the Ikur Churban, Ikur thing to focus on is the Bais Rishon. The Bais Sheni was never really a replica, a replacement for the Bais Rishon. The Shechin never returned. It was just a temporary bias to prepare us for 1,954 years of Golas. The Ikur is the Bais Rishon. So the Ikur Churban, that when you focus on Tisha B'Av, you're focusing on, you know, the whole Tzoyim is from the Nevim, it's the Bais Rishon. Many people will tell you that. Some will say, no, the Bais Sheni is the Ikur. The Bais Sheni has milos that the Bais Rishon did not have. There's certain milos of the Bais Sheni, there's a certain maturity in Klal Yisrael, and there are lessons that are necessary to live in Bais Sheni. Ikur is the Bais Sheni. The Kinois have both. It's clear as day, you read the Kinois. There are some Kinois that are focusing on the Bais Rishon, some on the Bais Sheni. Some of them are integrated. There are many, most Kinois, pretty much, there's a certain integration of elements of the Bais Rishon, the Bais Sheni. What is it? It's noteworthy that according to this Mahalich, first of all, just right off, right, is that when we focus, if David HaMelech, he gave over Nevuah, there's going to be a Churban, and he focused on the Bais Rishon and the Bais Sheni, this Bavel, Naras Bavel, and there is Yom Yerushalayim, and for Naras Bavel, he used the term of Tzion, and for Bais Sheni, he chooses the term Yerushalayim. At the end of the Kinois, Tzion, 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 Tzion. We're focusing on going back to the very beginning, which is not a contradiction to any of the two opinions of which is the Ikur, but it's an interesting sequence. You certainly start off Tisha B'Av with the Bais Rishon. Eicha, no question about it. Eicha is the Bais Rishon. And then you segue into a lot of elements of the Bais Sheni in the Kinois. And then at the end of the Kinois, you return back, Tzion, Tzion, Tzion. It's a cycle. The night of Tisha B'Av, can't ignore, Eicha is the Bais Rishon. I mean, that's just the way it is. And then the Kinois, there's a heavy element in the Kinois of the Bais Sheni. But then at the end of the Kinois, we come back. Let's not forget about the advantages that existed in Klal Yisrael during the era of the Bais Rishon, as we said before, the integration of Torah u'Tfilah. That's one idea. And the second idea of the difference is, it's personal. Tzion bezochreinu es Tzion. Tzion represents the Churban from our perspective. Let me give you an example. Rosh Hashanah. You always hear this is a very, very religious talk. I'm not here to tell you about me. Just use me as an example. Is like sometimes you hear very heavyweight, great holy people, and they say things like, on Rosh Hashanah, you're not supposed to daven for yourself. You're supposed to daven for Hashem. Hashem's name is Mechulul Ben Hagoyim. V'simloich ato levatcha. V'yesoyu. There is the Chilul Hashem. Who are you davening for on Rosh Hashanah? Shmalchiois, Zichroinois, Shefois, Malchus of Hashem. You're praying for the Ribonoi Shaloylam. It's not a day to daven for yourself. Don't be selfish. Now, by the way, Kimat, all the Gedolei Yisrael will say, tell you, that even though that's Taka Emes, no one today is on such a holy, exalted level where you should go into Rosh Hashanah and daven for Hashem. Don't worry about Hashem. Daven, it's okay. It's okay. Focus on yourself. You can daven for yourself. It's okay. Oh, but it says in all of the holy Sfarim, You're supposed to daven for the Ribbono Shel Olam, and I guarantee you, you'll hear Rabbanim, go to Torah anytime and check through some of the speeches, you'll hear Rabbanim telling you just that. Daven for the Ribbono Shel Olam. A lot of the greater Rosh Hashiva, the real ones, will tell you, don't get carried away with all this. They're right. What they're telling you is MS, 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 MS. The Iker Tefillah of Rosh Hashanah is to daven for Hashem, but don't try that at home. You're not on that Madrega today. Today, it's kedai to be selfish. Daven for yourself, for your neighbor, for your family, for your children. Daven for good health, refuah, shidduchim, parnasa. Don't worry, it's okay, it's okay. That's the way we do things today. We do things different today. But Me'ikar Hadin, who are you davening for? You're davening for Hashem. Tisha B'Av, the kinois are arranged to tell you, daven for yourself. Bezochreinu es Tzion. I remember Tzion. Focus it. Don't worry about Yerushalayim. Don't worry about Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is Hashem's problem. The end of the... When you say Yerushalayim, you're looking at this the Kedusha from Hashem's perspective. The last collection of kinois is, it's okay to dwell upon the sanctity of the Mokoyim, of what has been lost from Tzion. Bizochreinu es Tzion. All right. So these are some of the differences. There are also one other major very thing to keep in mind is who were the Gedolei Yisrael that led the Jewish people at the time. You know, a leader at the time of Churban, you need a leader. Yirmiyo Hanavi, he was the leader of Klal Yisrael at the time of the Churban Bayis Rishon. The Bayis Rishon, you were two Nevi'im. One was Yecheskel, one was Yirmiyo. Yecheskel was out of town. He was in Bavel. The one that guided Klal Yisrael through the Churban was Yirmiya. Who was the Manik Hador who guided Klal Yisrael through the Churban Bayis Sheni? Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. And it's interesting to study the parallel, the study, the differences. Can't do. I don't know. I don't know. I have to spend time to research this. But by studying them, you will definitely come to gain insight into the difference. I read recently in a very good book by the Holocaust, a fantastic book by Yaakov Astor, a fantastic book about, you know, stories of the Holocaust. And he has a lot of experience with the Holocaust. He wrote for Art School, there's a fantastic book, a curriculum for Mechanchim about a Torah Dika Hashkaf of the Holocaust called Rebirth. He worked with Rabbi Elias for many years writing that book. Basically, this book he writes is all the leftover stuff. Everything that he left out of the other book he wrote in this book. And he says, after studying and teaching the Holocaust for decades, he came to the realization that the only way and the best way to teach the Holocaust is through stories. He tried to go and tell people information. It just doesn't go. It's overwhelming and it just doesn't stick. The way to teach the Holocaust is through stories. You tell a story, in the Nemela, you're revealing an enormous amount of information about what happened, and it sinks in. And you put all enough stories, you have enough stories, you know everything. It's an incredible insight. Likewise, studying personalities is an indirect way of understanding. It's the same concept. You study the personality of a person, the Nemela, you can understand the Churban. You study Yirmiyahu, everything about Yirmiyahu is the Churban Bayis Rishon. Everything you can understand about Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai will give you insight into the nature of the Churban Bayis Sheni. Two personalities, two incredibly great people in their own time, a Navi and a Chacham, Bayis Rishon, Bayis Sheni. Through them, through the study of their lives, you don't need to be overloaded with details and numbers and statistics. Study the person. People are interesting. Events are boring. People are interesting. When you study the person, mimela, you'll understand everything. You'll get the whole picture. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is the key, the mafteach, to understand the bayis churban bayis sheni, and the mafteach to understand the churban bayis rishon is Yirmiyahu Hanavi. Okay, we'll stop here.